It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Hey, welcome. Welcome to Money for Lunch. Good stuff happening. Glad to have you here. The power of not having any money, right? The power of broke. And matter of fact, we're waiting on confirmation. We're going to have Damon Johns here on the show. He's one of the sharks, and he has a book out called The Power of Broke. And there is a huge power when you're broke, right? One of the advantages is that you are forced to be more creative and more resourceful. And I think that we've probably all experienced pulling off something that we should not have been able to do, but the fact that we were just so resourceful. And to me, there is just, you know, if you can remember doing that, if you can go back in time, remember at a time where you were able to do something that you should not have been able to do, but for the fact that you were more resourceful. Maybe it was getting a car. Maybe it was putting a deal together. Maybe it was whatever. And you did it simply out of sheer will and being resourceful. Now, what stops us from doing that all the time is that we start to become successful and we start to have more money. And so, for example, here's a little example. When you don't have a whole lot of money and you have a really tight budget, you negotiate like everything. Or you're not as distracted by shiny objects because you can't afford to buy them. Then you start making money and you don't negotiate as much because you don't want to deal with it, the time, and you chase more shiny objects because you have a bigger budget. So the money expands, or I should say the task expands to the size of the budget. You with me on that? So if you have $100, it'll take you probably $100 or most of that $100 to complete your task. Now, the same thing if you have $1,000, $10,000, $1,000,000. The project expands to consume the money available. One of the things that I appreciate about Mark Cuban is that he's always has that frugal mindset. He's always looking for a way to do it without spending money. And for example, when you look at him on Shark Tank, he is typically not the guy who buys all the deals. I think he has probably more money than the other sharks, and he might even have more money than a couple of the sharks combined, but he spends the least amount. So just a little thought there that your money will be spent on whatever project you decide to focus it on, regardless of the size of the budget. Does that make sense? And that sometimes we need to just get into that mindset of being broke and being frugal. All right, putting that thought aside, I also want to bring your attention to this. What are you doing with live streaming video? Now, there is Snapchat, which is like a minute video. Instagram came out with their version of Snapchat called Stories. It's about a 1 minute video. I'm not talking about those. Those are great. I'm talking about using Facebook Live, there's YouTube live streaming, there's a bunch of different mediums out there that can be used for you to stream live your message. And it's a perfect opportunity. And because of the success of YouTube, we don't have to have these production types of, you know, production quality type videos. We can have a video of just yourself in front of a camera. Gary Vaynerchuk does this really well. Grant Cardone, a friend of mine, does this really well. Anthony Robbins does this really well. He just gets in front of a camera, no matter what the dress is, no matter whether they're shaven, no matter what, and they just start talking and getting a message across. It's a great way to connect with your audience. And what's really nice, things like Periscope and Facebook Live and even YouTube allow you this interaction where people can comment, send you questions, and make things happen. So it's out there, and I want to bring your attention to it, and I want you to start thinking about getting in front of your video camera, it's on your phone, and going live. And maybe you can talk about your business, but do it in a way that's non-promotional. For example, what are the 5 or 10 most commonly asked questions about what you do and how you do it? Think about the customers you serve. Think about some of your success stories. Think about how you help people. And that should give you probably 10 or 15 videos. It's a fantastic way to build your credibility, your expertise. And by the way, we're going to be filming live, and this is just something I just thought about. So if you want to join us, we're going to be filming live in Miami and filming live in Washington, D.C. So you come out and join us. I think that would be great. So, just come out. Come hang out with us and get on my live show. So, anyway, I'm starting to trail off. I was just trying to think what else I can tell you about live streaming. Other than it's free, it's a great way to increase your reach. It's a great way to get you focused on what you do, who you do it for, and how you help people, right? Because once you go live, you really have to think about that and get away from the canned speech. You know, hey, Bert Martinez, best-selling author, blah, 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 blah. Who cares about any of that? The question that people are asking you is, who are you, what do you do, and how can you help me? So as long as you can answer those questions, then you're good to go. All right, we're going to get started here with my first guest, Corey Sosa. And Corey is the founder of Revline Fitness and nationally best-selling author from Montreal, Canada. Revline has evolved over the years from an in-home personal trainer to traveling with his clients to train them. And now there's a private facility in Montreal. They also have an online transformation program that specializes in fat loss. Corey Sosa or Sousa, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thank you so much for having me.
And okay, so how do you pronounce your last name?
It's Sousa.
Sousa. I wasn't even close.
Yeah.
All right. So Corey Sousa. All right. So let's talk about this. First of all, Corey, kind of give us your background story. How did you get started in the fitness industry?
So I've always been into fitness, you know, from the age of 15. It was one of those consistencies in my life. I always trained, went to the gym. And at 22, I got certified as a personal trainer with a couple of friends. You know, I didn't really know where it was going, where it was heading, but I really wanted to get more knowledge about the industry. And then from there, I just started training people, you know, in their homes and started traveling with my clients to different cities until it evolved into what it is today.
I love it. I love it. All right. So you started, obviously, you started your love for this industry early on. By the age of 22, you're certified, and now you travel with your clients and help them out. Let's talk about this, because I'm a big believer that coaching and mentoring and things of that nature are a great way to help you succeed faster. Anybody who helped you out as far as getting started in the industry?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. A couple of people really come to mind. John Chamberg helped me out a lot. He was he's a strength and conditioning coach in Montreal. He was really my first mentor. And just being around the people who he trains a lot of athletes, professional athletes, being in that zone with them and kind of competing with them helped me a lot. Another person out in L.A. is Val Waters. She helped me out big time. She had a really gave me a vote of confidence to pursue fitness, to pursue Revline into what it is now from the day she met me. So those two people really helped me out a lot.
Awesome. Awesome. I like that. Because you know what? There is something about having somebody give you a help, a helping hand. And what's interesting to me, too, is a lot of people sometimes misunderstand this process. As a coach or a mentor, we like to help people who are already helping themselves, so to speak. It's not a charity case. We're talking about, hey, I like this Corey guy. He's really got a passion for it. He's got himself certified. He's really into it. Let's help him out a little bit more, right? And sometimes people want to get a coach or a mentor. They want to get help before investing any of their own, skin in the game, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It just helped, especially, lending a helping hand in ways that they didn't even necessarily see it as help. It's just like, just watching them, emulating them. Just being around them really showed me, kind of shortened that learning curve a lot for myself.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, so let's talk about this, because there is so much misinformation, or I want to say maybe it's not misinformation, it's information overload. There's if you Google how to lose weight or how to lose fat, you will be overwhelmed with choices. So, see if you can help us out here, Corey. What are some of the best ways to either get in shape, or, should my goal be to lose fat or to lose weight? Where should I start?
You need to start with some fundamentals, right? I would get an assessment with somebody from a personal trainer or a fitness professional. But it all depends on what your goals are. So having a plan in place. And it's about not overdoing it from the gate, right? A lot of people, when they want to change their life or they want to lose fat or they really want to build muscle, they go really gung-ho from the beginning, change everything they eat. They start training 5 days a week, and that's not sustainable for them, right? So it's like implementing one or two things at a time that they can do consistently and adding more and more as you go along, right? For somebody who's inactive, to go to start training twice a week is a huge change. And then after 3 or 4 weeks, you add one more time, then three times, then four times, then five times. It's a lot better to do it consistently over time, so it's sustainable.
I agree. The other thing I've noticed is that sometimes you have these trainers that sometimes make the mistake of taking somebody who's never worked out, and all of a sudden they work them out for an hour, their first workout, and that person is sore and stiff and miserable. And so this works for people in the industry. Sometimes somebody doesn't need an hour workout. Maybe they need a fundamental 10 or 15, 20-minute workout because they haven't been in the gym for 10 or 20 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's about going to their style and to their pace, right? It's not about running them into the ground the first time, making them feel bad, and having like that kind of motivation by guilt. I motivation by inspiration, right? It's like, you're doing fine, you're doing great, but we need to work on this, this, and that. So come back next time approach.
Right. Well, and here's the deal. A lot of people don't understand this in the service industry. Your whole job is to make your clients feel good about themselves. Because in the world, as the older we get and as we start digging through the trenches, there is so much opposition. There's so many people telling you you're not good enough that, man, when somebody stands up and says, hey, Bert, you're doing a great job. Keep coming back. You know, this is going to get easier. I believe in you. If somebody makes me feel good, whether it's a doctor, a massage therapist, a personal trainer, a waiter at a restaurant, I keep coming back.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we use a pretty similar analogy to that. You have two tanks, right? You have your physical tank, you have your mental tank. When you walk in, people are mentally drained, but their physical tank is full. When they leave, you should drain their physical tank and their mental tank should be filled back up.
Yes. Yes, I like that. I like that a lot. All right, so let me ask you this, because I ask this of all of our entrepreneurs. What do you think, when you were thinking about launching Revline, what was holding you back from launching it?
Ooh, that's a good question. It's the feeling that you don't know enough, right? It's like, well, I don't know enough about, you know, what equipment I should have, or I don't know enough about staffing, or I don't know enough about nutrition. It's that constant insecurity that you don't know enough to just start.
Yes, absolutely. And this is such a universal fear that we all have. I'm not good enough. I don't know what I'm doing. And so it holds us back. This, you know, and I don't care whether you're Donald Duck or Donald Trump. We all have to deal with this fear.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those things that as you become more accustomed to it, you realize you'll never know enough, but that's not a bad thing, right? You always
right.
want to learn more. You always want to be a better coach. You want to be a better trainer. You want to be a better mentor. And it's you learn as you go. You know, as long as you start with a good fundamental, which qualifies you, quote unquote, you know, as a professional, then there's no shame in continually wanting to learn and get better at what you do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's what do you call it, a really good point. It doesn't matter. Everybody starts at zero and they have to work their way out.
Yeah, 100%. You have to prove yourself, you know, and in proving yourself, then you can show your knowledge. You can read all the books, you know, you can listen to the podcast, you can listen to all these different things and just, you know, build on the fundamentals from there and keep going, getting better and better and better. You know, Revline, what it is now, you know, after 15 months of the gym being open, is not the same product that it was when we opened it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about this. Back to you as an entrepreneur, what's the hardest part about owning a gym?
The hardest part, I mean, I can answer that a few ways, is what we just came to is you feel like you never know enough. You know, you always want to learn more about training and nutrition and coaching because there's so many different components that go along with the fitness industry. It's ever-evolving. It's more of a new industry, right? It's not one
right.
product that we build and just sell as is, right? The product itself has to continue to evolve and get better over time so people can lose more weight more efficiently with less struggle. But at that same token, right, we have to work on staffing. We want to grow the gym. We want to be more notable. So it's just where do we focus our energy, you know? And then the actual gym part, it's probably, you know, we work when other people don't work. So it's
yes.
really early mornings. It's the 5 a.m. It's the 4:30 wake up, and it's the going home at 9, 10, 11 p.m. You know, it makes for a long day sometimes. But that's part of it, you know?
Right. You know, it's funny to say that because as entrepreneurs in general, we do what people don't want to do. So later on, we can have the lifestyle that a lot of people never get to have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's about putting on all those hours that nobody sees. You know, nobody sees the hours that we put in unless we don't do them. So it's the follow-up with the clients, you know, it's the text message, it's the making sure they're okay, it's the sitting down with them, it's prepping our classes, it's reading all, you know, all the books and going to the seminars that people don't necessarily see on the back end, which I don't blame them for not seeing, but they only realize it if you stop doing it.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You know what? And a lot of people don't know this. I want to talk about this a little bit because I think it's applicable to everything. You look at somebody like Michael Phelps, and this is what you're talking about. Here's a guy that before he made any money as a swimming superstar, and this is applicable to anybody in any business, he had a practice for hours. He did all the amateur events. He was a nobody until he started winning enough to become a somebody. You know, and I'm using those terms loosely, but you know, bottom line is what you were talking about. People didn't see the hours, the 6 or 8 hours a day that he's putting into training. All they hear about is Michael Phelps, you know, won all these big events, and he's won whatever it is, 20, 30 medals. But they don't see the hours and hours and hours of work that he had to put in to get to the point where he could compete on that level.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I'm really a big fan of whiteboards and blackboards. We have them all over the gym. And one of the big things that I point to the staff all the time, and on the back wall, it says, you know, don't do it until you get it right. Do it until you can't get it wrong. Right? Until it's such an automatic response to you that you cannot get it wrong. And
right.
Then you can take a break.
Yes, absolutely. I love that. I love that. That's a different mindset. And I think that, what do you call it? That's when you look at it that way, it changes your focus.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's not this fixed mindset of I need to learn X amount of things and then I'm good. I can just coast through it. It's the mindset of I always want to be better and better and better, you know, and this applies for everything. It's not just the coaching, it's not just the nutrition, but it's about, you know, turning the coaches into leaders. You know, like there's no end into, you know, what we do. Like we don't have we have a broad scope as fitness professionals, right? Because we touch upon many different areas, not just the training in the gym, not just the nutrition, but lifestyle, right? Relationships. We touch upon a lot of these things that we get involved with people, which adds challenges, but it also is very rewarding and fulfilling.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this. What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
It's to just start.
Oh, I like
just,
that.
Whatever you want to do, whatever's holding you back is just to just start. You will never be ready to do what it is you want to do, whether that's your fitness plan to lose weight, whether it's opening a business, whether it's asking the girl out. Like you'll never be 100% ready, so you might as well just do it, and you'll
yes.
learn on the way. And if you get
yes.
knocked down from that job interview or from that business, well, take the lessons that you took from it, take the failure, and move on and do it again and do it better.
I love it. I love it. Let me ask you this. What's a personal habit that contributes to your success?
Determination. I mean, it's just that you have to be determined to find the successful route to what you want to do. Because there is no one path. Like you set a path, you set a goal, you set, you know, an outline, but it's going to go wrong. And knowing that is you just have to be determined to find the right way to do it. You know, I see a lot of things, whether it's coaching people for fat loss or coaching people for business or whatever it is, it's like a big puzzle. And you just have to put
right.
the puzzle together until it's completed. And then it's a nice picture. But until then, it looks like a mess and you just have to be really determined to put it all together.
Yeah, no, I like that. Absolutely. And you had mentioned something earlier as far as, you know, listen, you know, read or listen to the podcast or whatever. Do you have an internet resource, maybe a favorite podcast or some other internet resource that you'd like to share with the audience?
For us personally or just, you know, for the trainers or for people interested in fat loss?
No, I would say for, you know, something that you listen to as a business owner, something that you find useful, and it could be whatever you find. I mean, it could be for fitness, it could be for trainers, it could be for fat loss. whatever internet resource that you like to recommend, doesn't matter.
Yeah, we listen to a lot of Gary Vee, you know, just through Facebook, through the online world for that. We follow a lot of people like Luca Hochevar's gym over in on the West Coast. We follow a lot of Mike Boyle stuff. So we put it all together. You know, it's, we study it from a broad spectrum, and we just figure out what's directly applicable to what we do. Right? We study how athletes train, and we study how powerlifters train. Now, none of it's all directly applicable to us, but it's a matter of finding what is and taking bits and pieces of it all and putting it into our system.
Yes. Absolutely. And you know, so it's interesting that you mentioned Gary Vee. I was talking to him at the beginning of the show. He does a great job with his Ask Gary Vee on YouTube, you know, it's something that I was talking about that right now we have a great opportunity as business owners to use live streaming. Or, and it doesn't necessarily have to be live, but video and live streaming are still such a big thing, and it's changing the way people are connecting with their audience. Gary Vee is a great example of that. Some of these, there's a lot of fitness trainers that do great stuff on YouTube as well. I think that's a great, you know, doing videos and doing live streaming, I think is a great platform. And so anyway, so I'm glad that you brought that up. You know what? We're out of time. But I would love to bring you back and talk more about business and fat loss and health, what do you call it, and health. So, Corey, thank you so much for stopping by. We'll have you back soon.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Good stuff there from gym owner Corey Sousa, and out there in Montreal. You know what? I don't know if I mentioned this, and this has nothing to do with Corey. It just has to do with something that I realized the other day. We have like 120 days left before the Christmas shopping season. Doesn't that freak you out? Anyway, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Cooler, Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Then let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
All right, we are back. My next guest, Frances Jackson. Frances Jackson is an attorney who specializes in disability law for those seeking veterans disability benefits as well as Social Security disability benefits. He's a founding partner of Jackson McNichol. He has been featured on NBC, CBS, ABC, and Fox network affiliates around the country. He most recently appeared as a guest of Ben Glass on the Consumer Advocate Show, discussing benefits for veterans and Social Security disability benefits, and how his practice allows him to make a difference in the lives of people facing disabilities. He has been quoted in USA Today. He is listed in the Cambridge Who's Who. Mr. Jackson was honored by the National Academy of Bestselling Authors with a Quilly Award in September of 2012. For his contribution to the best-selling book, Protect and Defend, where he wrote about protecting one's rights to veterans' disability compensation. And he's also a regular contributor here on Money for Lunch. Frances Jackson, welcome back to Money for Lunch.
Thanks so much, Bert. It's always a pleasure just to get a chance to be here with you.
You know what? I always appreciate you stopping by. I know that you guys are pretty busy there at Jackson McNichol. And I believe that the work that you guys do is so important. You guys take care of our, you know, our fallen, not fallen, but our forgotten heroes sometimes, people who have been hurt, protecting America. And it's good that you guys are there to help them out. So it's always good to have you here. And I wanted to kind of jump into this and talk about and ask you, have there been any recent developments regarding veterans who operate a small business?
Well, I know that you're a an entrepreneur yourself and interested in small business issues, so I thought this would be a good topic for us to talk about today with some of your guests. There has been actually a very important development. The Supreme Court just came down with a case, the Kingdomware case, where the issue was whether or not a veteran-owned business necessarily got preference for certain kinds of business from the Veterans Affairs Department. And the lower courts had said, well, not really, that there were a lot of exceptions and so on. The Supreme Court surprisingly turned that around 8-0 and said, nope, the statute absolutely says you have to give a preference as long as two veteran-owned businesses will make an offer to provide the services or the goods that you're looking for, and that it's still within the price range that makes it reasonable for the government, then you have to go with a veteran-owned business. So that's a big deal for veteran small business owners. It's potentially millions of dollars in contracts, so it's really a big thing, and I wanted to make sure that all of your small business owners who are also veterans knew about that case, because I know a lot of small business folks don't really have time to follow Supreme Court decisions. That's more those of us in the law business who do that.
Sure, absolutely. And what's the name of the case again?
Kingdomware.
Kingdomware.
Yeah, Kingdomware. It's a software company, and they thought this would be a cute name, Kingdomware.
I love it. So, okay, so this
it's
is
actually
great.
Kingdomware Technologies out of Maryland.
Awesome. And you know what? I love this law. I'm glad that the Supreme Court clarified this. This is one of the jobs that it's really the job that they're supposed to do, is to clarify the law for us, interpret the law for us. And so the law is that if you have, RFPs, is I think the way the government describes it, you have these proposals, the proposals that are coming from a business that's owned by a veteran will have preference as long as it's not out of whack. And I think you said that it has to have there has to be at least another veteran another business buying for the same proposal. They get
that's right. They have to be at least two competitors before they're restricted. Otherwise, you'd get in that situation where they were forced to give the business to anybody who made any bid, and that obviously has its own problems.
Sure. No, I like that. All right, Kingdomware, guys, check it out. And bottom line is just know that. That is a business owner, as a veteran and a business owner, you get preference when you're dealing with the government. You know what, Francis, I wanted to ask you about this as well, because we know that there is a small minority or small group of, I guess I'll call them homeless veterans. You know, what about homeless veterans?
Well, you know, that's actually been a bigger problem than you might think. But over the last few years, the VA has been working with HUD, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, and
right.
the Interagency Council on Homelessness. And last year, two years ago, Michelle Obama got into this and launched the Mayor's Challenge to End Veterans Homelessness. And since that time, they have really done a lot. They have they've gotten 13,000 unsheltered homeless veterans off the street in the last couple of years. They've gotten the number of homeless veterans down by over half since 2010. So that's really pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's very impressive. I like that. And I'm glad that the First Lady stepped in there and made that, you know, and made that happen. Sometimes we don't hear we don't hear what the First Lady's doing, you know, and usually all the all the focus is on the president. And so it's nice that that she took it upon herself and made this a point of focus.
It really is, and I think, you know, that sort of initiative from someone at her level certainly adds impetus to these kinds of things. So it's really it's been, I think, very effective. The overall results are certainly very impressive. Obviously, it's not perfectly even across the country, but, you know,
right.
Getting it down over half nationally is pretty darn impressive, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it is very impressive. Let's talk about this, because we've heard a lot about the VA healthcare over the last couple of years. Have there been any new developments in that area?
Well, there are a couple of things going on, Bert, that are worth talking about. Overall, VA healthcare has actually been improving despite the bad press they've gotten. The RAND Corporation recently issued a report saying that, you know, it's up and down, it's not perfectly even, but overall, they didn't think there was really a crisis. The Joint Commission on Accreditation of Hospitals said that after their surveys of hospitals, including the VA hospitals in 2014 and 2015, said that there had been improvements in veteran access, in timeliness of care, in coordination of care, as well as safety and staffing. So I think those are all good things. It's nice to see a little positive news coming out about the VA's health care. The other thing along that line, and one of the things perhaps that's contributing is, and we don't hear much about this, but the VA actually has been on the leading edge of providing telephone-based care via smartphones so that you can talk to your care provider in non-emergency situations without waiting to get an appointment. You can actually, you know, have a FaceTime kind of chat with them. And that program has been growing. You know, when you think about the number of smartphones available in the U.S., that's an important way of accessing the healthcare. And they've linked up with Salesforce, which you probably have heard of in other contexts.
Sure.
Salesforce has developed something they call the Health Cloud as a platform for delivering these kinds of remote healthcare services, and it seems to be working pretty well. You know, that, as you know, anytime you start something new, it takes a while to get it off the ground, but it's growing pretty rapidly. They did over 2 million telehealth visits in 2015. The 2016 stats aren't out yet, but dealing with over 10% of the veterans' healthcare population, which is really pretty impressive when you consider that they started from zero just a few years ago. So that looks like a real bright spot in the VA healthcare area.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm glad that. I'm glad that it wasn't left up to the government. No offense to our government, but this is not their area of expertise. I'm glad that Salesforce stepped up and made this happen. It's obviously their area of expertise. I mean, they already have the framework in place to make this happen quicker, better than just about anybody.
That's right. And it looks like they've done a nice job with this one.
Absolutely. Let me ask you, what about veterans benefits? Any developments there?
Well, you know, usually we're talking about veterans benefits in terms of compensation and pension benefits, cash payment benefits. The real hot news, if you will, has been a decision from the Veterans Court about medical care. And what they did, it's a case called Staub. Richard Staub is the veteran and sued the secretary, saying that he was entitled to have the VA pay for his emergency medical care because he was too ill to go to a VA facility, even though he's enrolled for VA care. And the VA said, no, you know, you've got some insurance coverage, and you just have to pay the difference, which in Mr. Staub's case is a big deal. It works out to like almost $50,000 that we're talking
wow.
about. He was in with heart problems and strokes and in and out, and it was just wasn't good. And, you know, his point was that, yes, he understood that normally he's expected to go to a VA facility if he wants covered care, but that he had a stroke. He wasn't able to think clearly and figure out, my goodness, I shouldn't go to this hospital. I should go to the VA. And, you know, by the time they got done with all the necessary care and he was back to a reasonable state of function and could figure those things out, he'd run up this huge emergency bill after his limited insurance coverage. So the VA is very upset with that one. They are claiming that they're looking at potentially a couple of million emergency room claims over the period that's still allowed by the statute of limitations if this decision stands up. So they asked the full court to review it, and that got turned down, and now they're talking about appealing it to the Court of Appeals. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. They have until September 20th to take that appeal. But if the Federal Circuit upholds it, or if the government ultimately doesn't appeal, it's potentially a really big deal. What's happening now, the VA pays for emergency care for veterans who are enrolled in VA care and have no health insurance coverage. But if you have health insurance coverage, they say you can only get whatever your health insurance care will pay for these emergency room visits outside our system. And as with Mr. Staub, you know, sometimes the tab after what the insurance will pay is pretty large. So Mr. Staub got a lawyer and sued the VA and went all the way up to the Court of Appeals. And as I said, he got a favorable result. And they interpreted a change in the law that came down a couple years ago saying that, no, it didn't limit the emergency room payment to those people with no insurance. It allowed claims that weren't covered by insurance, which is a different kettle of fish, as you know. And so
sure.
That's what brought this decision about, and we'll just have to wait and see where it goes. But right now, it's potentially huge. The VA is actually estimating that this could be like over 60 million claims, could cost them $10 billion. They're just wild over this decision. So we'll have to see where that all goes.
And my thought is for the VA to suck it up. That's, you know, bottom line is I think that we have to give a preference to our VAs. We have to not our VAs, our veterans, you know, and some of these people, I think that's a great example of somebody who was not mentally able to make a decision. And so therefore, you know, the VA should pick that up. And I think that, you know, what are you going to do when somebody has limited capacity or has dementia, you know, and doesn't know, you know, doesn't even know that he's a veteran? I mean, we cannot penalize our heroes this way. I think they got, you know, we have to give them preference. I think that's a great law. And hopefully it stands up.
I think so too, Bert. And I know that there are lots of people around the country who are really watching this closely because, you know, not everybody has a $48,000 bill like Mr. Staub, but there are a lot of veterans on limited incomes who sure could use this kind of coverage when they have these kinds of emergencies. I mean, when you have a heart attack or a stroke, you know, it may not be practical for you to go to a VA hospital that's a long distance away. So I'm with you. I'm hoping this will stand up.
Absolutely, absolutely. Frances Jackson, thank you so much for stopping by. Always good to have you on the show. Always good to know that you're out there protecting the rights of our veterans. If you guys have questions about your veteran, about his or her benefits, check out JacksonMcNichol.com. It's Jackson-McNichol, M-A-C-N-I-C-H-O-L.com, Jackson-McNichol.com. They'll be glad to answer your questions and take care of you, point you in the right direction. Francis Jackson, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing.
Always my pleasure, Bert. You take care.
All right. Good stuff there. Good stuff there from all of our guests, Corey Sousa and Francis Jackson. And I love what Francis Jackson and his team at Jackson McNichol do, because they take care of you and your loved ones. They help you with Social Security disability benefits. They help you with veterans disability benefits. Those guys are really making a difference. And so if you have questions, please check them out. Remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.